We're going to look at the story of King Herod this morning. King Herod, the story that's recorded here in Mark chapter 6, and then a passage that I'll refer to in a minute in the book of Luke, taken together, is a very tragic story. It's a story of a man that lives in sin who one day was confronted by the claims of God. A story of a man that was moved by the claims, a story of a man that came to a crisis point in his life, a point where he had to make a choice. It's a story of a man that made the wrong choice. He hugged his sin, he rejected God. And because he rejected God, God rejected him, left him in his sin. And from that moment that he was rejected by God, he was a damned soul, headed for an eternity in hell. Tragic story. And yet it's a story that's being played out over and over again today. It's being played out in the lives of some of our friends. It's being played out in the lives of some of our family. And maybe it's even being played out in the life of somebody that's here this morning. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're headed for the same end that Herod had. You're headed for the same destination that Herod ended up in. And so I'm going to preach a sermon that I've entitled this morning, The Wrong Choice. I preach it to do two things. I preach it, first of all, to encourage and motivate those that might be here this morning that are facing the same choice that Herod made. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're going to have to make a choice this morning. And I know you might say, hey, preacher, I didn't come to be put on the spot. I didn't come to make a choice. I just came to church and I'm just here. Well, sorry, you're not just here. You're here by the divine providence of God. And before you leave this morning, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to have to make a choice. I preach to you this morning not to make the wrong choice, not to make the same choice that Herod made. And then I preach to Christians this morning because every single one of us have somebody in our sphere of influence that's making that same decision. They are being confronted with the gospel. They are being confronted with God, and they have a choice to make. Am I going to hang on to my sin and reject God, or am I going to give up my sin, and am I going to turn to God? As we look at King Herod, and you see people in your life that have to make that choice, I want to encourage you to help them. I want to encourage you to direct them. I want to encourage you to beg them not to make the wrong choice when it comes to this matter of what they're going to do with God. So I have three points this morning, three parts of this story. The first part is Herod being confronted by God. That confrontation came in the form of his meeting this man called John the Baptist, the one we know as the forerunner of Christ. When John preached, he told those that gathered to hear him, "I'm not the Christ." And they said, "Well, who are you then?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" He was an unusual man. He wore clothes made out of camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey for his diet. But I want to tell you, the honey did not spill over into his preaching. He was a sin-hating, fire and brimstone kind of preacher. And he preached and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And it didn't matter who was in the crowd. He did not back up. He did not soft soap it. He did not put it on easy side. It didn't matter who was there. He let them have it. The rulers, the religious rulers came to hear him. And he said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meant for repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent." That's what he told the religious rulers. King Herod heard him. And even though the king was in the audience, it was the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God at his hand. And then he told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It's a sin. You see, King Herod was one of four rulers, one of four kings that was appointed by Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, to oversee Israel. King Herod was assigned that part of Israel that we know as Galilee. That was his part of Israel that he ruled. King Herod had several brothers. One of them was a private citizen named Philip. Philip had married a woman named Herodias. Well, Herodias wanted more. She just didn't want to be the wife of a private citizen. She wanted to be the wife of a king. And when King Herod met her, he wanted her. And so, and he was already married himself. And so he divorced his wife. Herodias divorced Philip, and the two of them married. And so when John the Baptist stood before both of them, he called it like he saw it. He said, hey, what you have done is wrong. What you have done is sin. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we didn't read it a minute ago, but in verse 19 from that same chapter, Mark chapter 6, the Bible says, therefore Herodias, this woman that divorced Philip, this woman that divorced her husband and married King Herod, had a quarrel against him, against John the Baptist, and would have killed him, but she could not. She was so upset about this preacher calling out her sin that she said, man, if I could get my hands on him, if I could do it, I would kill him. You ever felt that way about your preacher? Be honest. You're in church. I tell you what, if your preacher don't make you mad every now and then, he's not doing his job. If you don't step on your toes every now and then, he's not doing his job. If you don't squirm in that seat a little bit, he's not doing your job. And he's not doing his job. But I hope you never get to the point where you want to kill him. Let me know and I'll have Adam preach that Sunday. But she said, I'd like to kill him, but I can't. And why couldn't she? Because the preaching of John the Baptist got to Herod. We read it in verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Herod was watching John the Baptist. He was studying him. He said, this is a just man. This is a holy man. This is a man sent from God. And if he's sent from God, the message that he's preaching is not his. It must be a message from God. When he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, it's not a message that John the Baptist has made up. It's a message that he's delivering for God. He heard and feared John. He says, he's telling me the truth. He's telling me what I need to hear. He's telling me what's right. I've sinned. I've done wrong and taken Herodias for my life. And he's telling me that the kingdom of God is coming. I'm in trouble. I stand guilty before God. Now listen, most people want those that are looking at their lives to be honest with them. If you go to the doctor and there's something wrong, you don't want the doctor to say, well, everything's all right. You don't want a doctor that gives you pills and says, call me in the morning. You want, if there's something wrong, like the doctor we had last night, but you want a doctor that finds out what's wrong and tells you what to do to fix it. When you go to the dentist and you have a cavity, you don't want the dentist glossing everything over and say, hey, all your teeth's fine. You want them to say, hey, no, you got a cavity. We need to drill and fill. We need to fix it. If you go to a mechanic and there's something wrong with your engine, you want that mechanic to be honest with you. I mean, you don't want them to say, hey, everything's fine, and you drive out of the driveway and your engine explodes. Most people want people to be honest with them, and Herod, like John, because he knew he was an honest man. He knew he was a just man. He knew that he was delivering God's message. That's why the Bible says Herod heard John gladly. He's telling me the truth. He's telling me what's right. He's telling me what I need to know. He's concerned about my soul. He's concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity. He's telling me to repent. He's calling out my sin because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, I look at that phrase where it says, Herod did many things. I think he was like most people today. Well, I know John's telling me the truth, and I know John is telling me I've done wrong, and I'm going to do some things, but I'm not going to do the main thing. I'll go to John. I'll listen to him preach. I won't let Herodias kill him, even though she wants to. But I'll go, and I'll hear him preach, and I'll listen, and I'll try to be a better ruler. I'll try to rule with more fairness. I'll try to rule with more compassion on people. I'll pet the dog, stroke the cat, Judy, and I'll be kind to different people. And Herod did many things. But let me echo John the Baptist's message this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. You're headed for hell, and there's nothing that you can do. You can do many things. You can come to church. You can give. You can be kind. And none of those things will matter when it comes to eternity. The only thing that will matter is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're a sinner, there's only one thing that will take care of your sin. And that's the thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross, when he paid the price of your sin. And so Herod, the first part of his story, he was confronted by God. The second part of his story is that he made a choice. And he made the wrong choice. Herod had John thrown in jail. His birthday comes. Herodias' daughter, whose name we do not know, comes and dances for Herod and his guests, the guests at his birthday party. Now, any woman that had a position, any decent woman, would not dance before men. It wasn't the custom of that day. They would not dance before men. It was an indecent act. And I'm sure that Herodias had something to do. I'm sure Herodias arranged this dance by her daughter for Herod, thinking that it might be a way to get John. Her plan worked. Herodias' daughter danced. The Bible says that that dance pleased Herod and his guest. And Herod said, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." He basically gave her a blank check. Said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you, even to the half of my kingdom. I thought about that. I'm sure Caesar might have something to say about that. I mean, he had placed Herod in charge of Galilee, and I'm sure he did not give Herod the right to give half of it away to a young lady. But he made this promise. The young lady didn't know what to ask for, so she went back to her mother and said, "Mom, what should I? The king was pleased with my dancing. He's given me a blank check. What should I ask for?" And I can see Herodias rubbing her hands together. A sly smile comes on her face as she says to her daughter, "Ask for John the Baptist's head. Tell the king you want him beheaded and you want his head brought to you on a charger or a tray or a platter." So this young girl goes back to King Herod and says, "You ask me what I want? I want the head of John the Baptist. I want you to bring it to me on a plate, on a platter." Herod had a decision to make. He was at a crisis point in his life. He knew John was a just man. He knew John was sent from God. He knew John was telling him the truth. And yet, here he was, in front of his friends, in front of the soldiers that served him, he had made a promise to this young girl, and what she had asked for was asking him to kill this man that was just, this man that was holy, this man that was telling him about God and the things of God. Herod had a choice to make. Am I going to give in to my sin? Am I going to give this young lady what she's asked for? To do that, I've got to kill this man of God. What do I do? And the Bible says, even though he was sad about it, for the sake of those that were with him. Because he did not want to appear to the people that were with him to be a promise breaker. Because he wanted to appear to them as a man of his word, he sent the executioner to the prison, cut off John's head, and brought it back to this young lady on a tray. He made the wrong choice. He chose to stay in his sin. He chose to ignore God. I want to pause just for a second. There may be people here this morning that your family is keeping you from coming to God. You didn't grow up in a church, a home that took you to church. You didn't grow up in a home that had anything to do with God. And you may be saying this morning, hey, preacher, I may understand what you say, but there's no way I can come to God. My family would disown me. My family would just disinherit me. There's no way that I can come to God because of my family. Or there may be some here this morning and say, preacher, I understand what you're saying, but I can't come because I've got a group of friends, and if I came to God, I would lose every one of my friends. I want to tell you something this morning. There's nobody so important in your family. There's nobody so important in your circle of friends that you ought to give up an eternity in heaven and spend an eternity in hell for. Nobody. Maybe if you got saved, you could reach your family, you could reach your friends, and you could take them to heaven with you. Amen?
Amen.
So don't let anybody stand between you and the cross. Don't let anybody stand between you and God. Don't let anybody in your life cause you to make the wrong choice. Herod made the wrong choice. He chose his sin over God. He chose wrong over right. Which brings us to the third part of his story. He was rejected by God. God said, okay, Herod, I've come to you time after time. John has preached to you time after time. Over and over you've heard him say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Over and over you've heard him say that it was wrong for you to take your brother's wife to be your wife. And he's preached to you about that. He's called out your sin. And you have made a choice. You have chose to cling to your sin and ignore my warnings. You have chose to stay in the wrong. You have chose to kill my messenger to you and stay in your sin. And God said, I'm done. I'm done. No more warnings. No more messages from me. No more invitations to come to me. In Luke chapter 23 is the account of the last hours of Jesus Christ before the crucifixion. He's taken before Pilate. And when Pilate finds out that he's from Galilee and he hears that King Herod is in Jerusalem, Pilate says, hey, okay, I'll send this one called Jesus to Herod. He's from his jurisdiction. I'll let Herod handle this problem. And in Luke chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. Don't you think John told Herod about Jesus? I do. It's not recorded in the scripture. But I think John is a forerunner of Christ. He told everybody else, he said, King Herod, there's one coming after me who I'm not even worthy to latch up his shoes. The one that's coming after me is the Lamb of God that will pay for all man's sins, including yours. He'd heard about Jesus, and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. He'd heard about the things that Jesus had done. He'd heard him make the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear. He'd heard all the things that Jesus had done. Then he questioned with him in many words. This king asked Jesus many questions. But he, Jesus, answered him nothing. He answered him nothing. You see what had happened? Herod had made a choice. He'd rejected God. Not just one time, But over and over and over again. And God said, okay, you made your choice. You've chosen your sin. You've rejected me. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. No more invitations. No more rebukes. No more sermons from my messengers. I'm done. And when Jesus sat there in silence before the king, that was reinforcing God's position and answer to Herod, I'm done with you. No more invitations. I want to tell you, that is the most tragic, saddest place a human being can get to. That place where they have rejected the gospel over and over and over and over. They have said no to Jesus Christ. They have said no to the cross. They have said no to the redemption that only comes through Him. They have hung on to their sin. They have said, my sin is more important than Christ. My sin is more important than eternity. My sin is more important than anything else in my life. I'm not giving up my sin. I'm not coming to Jesus Christ. And at some point, God says, okay, I'm done. I won't bother you anymore. Never again when you go into a church and hear a sermon will your heart beat quick. Never again will be that still small voice that says, hey, what he's talking about is right. You ought to listen. You ought to act on it. Never again, never again will I convict you of your sin. I'm done. And what a tragic place, what a terrible place for any person to come to. I pray this morning there's no person under the sound of my voice that God has given up on. But I warn you this morning, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've heard the gospel again today. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is separation from God forever. Jesus paid the price of your sin. If you'll come and ask Him, He'll save you. He'll save you. I'm going to give you just in a second a chance to walk the aisle. Give you a chance in just a second to come, and I'll have somebody take the Bible and from the Bible show you how you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. But if you say no again today, I can't guarantee you that you'll get another chance. Say, preacher, I don't think you should scare people like that. I'd rather scare people into heaven than neglect them into hell. I want you to know that God is patient and God is long-suffering, but God has a limit. God has a limit. There's a line that you can cross with God. And after you cross that line, He says the same thing to you that He said to Herod. I'm done. I've given you plenty of opportunities to come to Jesus Christ. I've given you plenty of opportunities to get saved. You've rejected every single one of them. I'm done. I'll never call again. And the Bible says, unless Jesus calls, unless God calls, we will not come. And so I beg you this morning, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, if there's any bit of conviction in your heart, if there's any longing in your heart that says, I need to do it. I need to do it today. I beg you to come. I beg you to come. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I wish I could say, hey, don't worry about doing it today because you will have plenty of opportunities in the future. I'd be a liar if I told you that. I don't know how many more opportunities you're going to have. The only opportunity I know about for sure is the one that you have right now. The choice that you need to make right now. Are you going to come to Jesus Christ, accept the payment that He made for your sin? Or are you going to say, nope, I'm sticking with my sin. I'm sticking with my sin. I beg you today, come to the Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warning that it gives us. Father, I pray that every single person here knows Jesus Christ as their Savior and they're ready to go. But Father, I got to believe in a crowd this size, There's at least one or two people that have not made that decision. One or two people that if they were honest with themselves and with you, would say, there's never been a time in my life where I admitted to God that I was a sinner and I asked Jesus to save me. I pray for those people, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show them in their hearts and in their minds that Jesus is the only answer to their sin. That's only in him that they can have hope for forgiveness and hope for heaven. And I pray that you would help them come this morning. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Again, Father, there's somebody in our sphere of influence that needs the Savior. Somebody that we could touch for Jesus. Help us to realize the time is short. Help us to be bold in our witnessing to tell them about our Savior. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in our lives this morning what only you can do. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.